areas like our College of Education, where there's been very substantial growth, there's a population of place-bound, geographically bound individuals who desire master's degrees or advanced course opportunities. That's a very good opportunity for online delivery. Another area is, that was a somewhat of a surprise to us is the increasing interest on the part of community colleges to have courses delivered to them where they cannot afford to have a resident faculty to teach.
I will be repeating what my colleagues have said, but truly the matrix do vary from discipline to discipline. I mean, you mentioned department, but it's about discipline. And the other piece of it is that at UIC, we affordable said graduate education, and so there was we offer a lot of certificate programs online. Well, if I'm a dean, do I offer a course for a certificate, or do I offer a course that's needed as a part of the curriculum? Those are the decisions that are being made.
If I might, I probably hear this is for you. The slide in which you showed the growth and the numbers in the green, are those arranged in order of the growth headcount, or are they just
random?
I
have a table that backs up this slide. All those have seen growth ranging from 11 students to 171 students in the past 5 years, but they're not arranged in a particular order. And I have a slide that goes into more detail on that. I mean, a table, if you like.
Also, just a comment. I'm really surprised the public affairs reporting program has not grown because it's definitely one of the best programs we have and nationally known.
It is indeed. There's a capacity issue there. Each of the students has an internship, and we just have so many internships, and we have one faculty member who's appointed full-time in that department.
So it's not that the need is declining?
No. I'd like to think that we could sharpen public affairs reporting around the country, and we would make a contribution to that.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
There were, Paul, in your slide and elsewhere through the presentations, which were very helpful, there are references to poor performing units, academic excellence, strong programs, academic quality, unit productivity, faculty productivity, benchmark data. We know the score on the departments. I'm not sure that I have a depth of understanding of any of those terms. I didn't know, not at today's meeting, but maybe someone could just send us a note to explain how one keeps score and how
that's
done.
And I'd be more than happy to send you the explanation of academic analytics and the various matrices included in that. And it might be helpful.
Okay. It would for me.
Could we actually get that list from you, Mr. Chairman? Could we get the list from you?
Did I just ask?
You're right. You're right.
He writes almost as much as the governor.
I just to add a couple of comments. First of all, I really applaud you for the work you're doing, which is a very tough job. I often, Chancellor Easter, people talk about fruit-bearing plants. In order to produce the very best quality fruit, you have to prune along the way to get that plant to produce the very best. And I hate to use that analogy here, but that's part of this job that you're trying to put together is continually making sure we've got the energy and the finances there to really produce the best ones. And I guess the other thing I'd say to you, and people in our corporations that I work for used to hate it because I kept saying cost management is not a destination, it's a journey. It's constantly journey. Even though you're working on getting to a point, it doesn't end because inflationary costs keep going up, so you've got to keep finding ways to get there. I just want to encourage you and all your people to keep working on it because it's a never-ending process.
Just a comment slash question for thought. Each of the presentations, I thought, they all were very good, and they each kind of, emphasized different things. I wonder, would it be beneficial to the board to, for future, say, academic reviews, to have a uniform presentation among the three chancellors, kind of hits areas in a consistent way, just for ease of kind of processing the information, and would that essentially further the kind of administrative restructuring to the vice president and chancellor roles? Would that further that? Just a thought.
Well, I think I'd be very happy to visit with the chancellors on that. The campuses do have somewhat different missions, so there
sure.
are bound to be some differences in the way they measure the effectiveness of the program. To see that most clearly, I think, with Harry's presentation as opposed to the two others. But still, in certain areas, there can be and are commonalities. I would say, for example, I know what the chancellors are saying when they say the metrics vary by department or discipline. I might put it just a little differently. I would say they're more alike than different, but they're often weighted differently depending on the department or the discipline. But all departments are going to be interested in their teaching productivity, how many students, because that generates revenue, tuition dollars, to pay the bills. If they're a research department, research intensive, they're going to be measuring rates of productivity. Paula was getting at through analytics, quality of the journals they're publishing in, the quality of the presses that they're pushing out books, research grants they're getting, productivity of the research space that they have, which is a big issue going forward for the ARR. So most departments, particularly at research intensive universities, will have this same kind of list that they look at, and you're never going to get 100% in each metric. It just doesn't work out that way. But when you evaluate departments, at least in my experience, you look to the ones that have are the highest scoring in all of these different areas. That tells you something. They're generating lots of research dollars. They have good core undergraduate enrollment that support their graduate programs. Their graduates are getting degrees or PhD degrees in timely fashion and good placements. You can make a list. And I bet you, for the most part, between the three of them, that list would be 80% identical, similar. And you just go through when you look at a department and evaluate and do it. And you try to benchmark it then. Use objective, you know, national rankings, as Bob mentioned, analytics, as Paula mentioned, so that you're not just navel-gazing, comparing one department in your college to another department in your college. You're really comparing apples to apples, same departments, same colleges across the nation in your peer group. And I think we can work on a common. We've never done it before, but I think we can. Common list of metrics.
Charles, and then I think I think if we can maybe ask a final question, if that's okay with the group, and then we have 2.5 minutes to eat lunch.
Harry, you mentioned a continuous cycle of program review. I was wondering if you could comment on benefits or savings realized as a result of a more continuous cycle of review vis-a-vis a periodic cycle of review for academic programs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was talking about the what's continuous is the examination of these the metrics, the productivity of the department. What's periodic is that more comprehensive review where the program has to do a pretty exhaustive self-study. And that would be a big burden to have to do that every year. And then the assessment of learning outcomes falls somewhere in between, where we're not waiting 8 years, but we're doing it every 3 years or so.
Anybody else? Okay, so.
Dumb question. But this notion about a core curriculum, is that something that is intractable in this process? So that it's a base that you work on and you don't eliminate? and my question really is governed by a lack of knowledge.
Okay. Well, if by core curriculum you mean the general education component of an undergraduate education.
That part that talks about a well-rounded education.
Right. I would say that, that the concept is just a part of what it means to be to obtain a baccalaureate degree in the United States. It's a part of our educational philosophy across the country. It's not set in stone, and institutions, and all of our institutions, are all continually kind of tinkering with general education, and that would necessarily be the case, because as time moves on, what students need to emerge with in terms of being well-rounded people changes as the world changes.
It's a relevancy factor, but over time, the general ed requirements are no longer relevant to the needs of the student intellectually as well as preparing them for tomorrow. So the governing faculty spend considerable time talking about and thinking about these requirements and their relevance.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we're going to adjourn this part of the meeting. I think maybe we have a speaker, Terry Mazzani from the Chicago Public Schools. I think we'll probably have him speak now while we eat lunch. That's going to require us going and getting our lunch and bringing it back here so that we can continue an open session with Terry. So if that's okay, if everybody, as quickly as they can, go to the other room, grab their food, and come back. Is that okay? Okay, thank you, everybody. Chicago public school system, which is the third largest in the United States and one of the most challenging jobs in the world, I suppose. And when the vacancy arose there, Mayor Daley reached out to a single person. That was Terry Mazzani, to try to get somebody who could stabilize the system, reinvigorate the faculty, someone who would have their faith and know their concerns, and someone with a proven track record of community involvement so that the broader community of Chicago would also have faith in the changes that would be brought about there. Terry's his full-time job is head of the Chicago Community Trust, where he has a strong partnership with Paul Allen Mears and a number of the faculty here in the Chicago campus, and has a very thoughtful program about around engaging the major research universities in our state to try to amp up the amount of federal funding that they've been getting. And we're delighted that both Northwestern and University of Chicago can ride in our coattails in that effort. But we appreciate Terry's leadership, and we appreciate the fact that he is here today with all of us. So I'll turn it over to you, Terry.
Thank you, Chairman Kennedy. And thank you, trustees of the University of Illinois, for allowing me this opportunity. I also want to extend my thanks to the administrators and faculty here and the staff of the university system who work very hard to provide high-quality education for so many young people at the highest levels in a globally recognized state and university system here. I find myself a bit bemused and befuddled at the life that I'm living right now. I came over here from sitting as a director of the Chicago Federal Reserve Board, and I thought I was going to be late here. Turns out your delay was my benefit. And then I have this extremely important meeting and presentation, and then I go from here over to the Chicago Public Schools to launch the external advisory board process to reset the education plan and vision for the Chicago Public Schools. And then tonight it is the visit with President who from China for that, and then he